Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort, comfort my people, God commands Isaiah and all the prophets of the Old Testament. And we hear that commandment today on this third Sunday in Advent. The Scottish preacher Ian McLaren was once asked what he would do if he had his ministry to do all over again. He said, I would comfort people more. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. But how do we comfort people in this post-Christian age in a way that pleases God? Let's think about that for a few minutes today. So we comfort people by telling them what they want to hear. That seems to be the way of life in our country. That's how politics works, correct? Tell people what they want to hear and they'll vote for you. That's what we hear at a lot of funerals too, isn't it? We hear a lot about the deceased, that he was a good person, even if he wasn't, and that he's now with the angels, or he's in a better place, even if he isn't. Or he's looking down from heaven. Maybe we might say, hear someone say that he's now one of the angels. Those words are supposed to be comforting, but are they true? And if they're not true, are they God-pleasing? Is it truly comforting when you go to a funeral and you hear nothing about Jesus or forgiveness or the resurrection of the just? It might be comforting in some earthly, carnal way to leave people thinking that everyone goes to heaven no matter how they live their lives before God. But there's no real comfort before God with those kind of words. And then think about the Old Testament prophets. There were basically two kinds. Those that spoke the truth and those that didn't. Which of those two do you admire? Do you admire the ones who told the people what they wanted to hear? That God was not angry with their sins? That God actually approved of their sinful lifestyle and everything was okay? Do you admire those prophets? Or do you admire the prophets who spoke the truth of God's word, called the people to repent, to turn from their sins before the wrath of God would overtake them, because God had sent those prophets to do just that, so that his people would turn to him and live? Is that the kind of prophet you admire? St. Paul writes in 2 Timothy these words, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Telling people what they want to hear is, in essence, insulating them from the reality of their sins and God's wrath and condemnation. This isn't God-pleasing. Nor does it prepare people for the return of Jesus. We prepare for Jesus and his coming again through repentance and faith in the blood that washes away our sins. What God calls his people, his churches, and his pastors to do is to speak the truth in love. Well, should we comfort people by telling them how wonderful they are? Today, Hollywood starlets are surrounded by people who tell them how great they are and how wonderful their lives are, no matter how badly they have messed up their lives. We see this also amongst our children who receive nothing but affirmation. Their self-esteem stroked, insulated from failure and the disappointments in life, so they really don't know how to handle bad things when they happen to them. In California, the Little League baseball programs don't even keep score. They don't want to have any losers or winners. They just let the kids hit and hit and hit and hit. No one ever strikes out. I can't imagine how long and boring those games are. But the kids can't handle losing, because they don't know what it means to lose. And in a sinful world, we all lose. Employers deal with an entire generation of young people who don't really want to work hard, had a conversation with my son the other night. They hired a young lady to work for their firm, and she is late every day. Every day. And they have to let her go because she's not trustworthy. But we're used to people telling us what we want to hear and not the reality, not the, as things truly are. Remember the Hans Christian Andersen story, The Emperor's New Clothes? It was about two weavers, actually two con men, who promised an emperor a new set of clothes. But there's a catch. The clothes are made of such fine fabric that it's invisible to those who are unfit for their positions or just plain stupid. So when the emperor parades before his subjects in his new clothes, meaning with nothing on, his subjects tell him how wonderful he looks. Of course, no one wants to look unfit or stupid before the emperor. So they tell the emperor what he wants to hear. But then when the emperor processes through town, there's a child, too naive to know what's going on, who announces, but he isn't wearing anything at all. Everyone knew there was a problem, but no one had the courage to speak the truth. There's nothing more comforting to our egos than flattery. We love being told how great and wonderful we are. But who actually benefits from flattery? Did the emperor benefit from the people's flattery? Not really. But the people benefited because they didn't make the emperor angry and lose their heads. We flatter people not for them, but for us, so we can get something from them. So that certainly isn't comforting. Really, in the ways that which God wants us to comfort. Now, the Apostle Peter says that God is no respecter of persons, meaning that God doesn't show favoritism. It isn't his nature to flatter people. Jesus spoke the truth in love. He spoke the truth especially to those in authority, those who had the power to kill him. Jesus didn't affirm people in their hard-hearted sins and brokenness and fallenness. He called them to repent. But what of the person who knows he isn't a good person in God's sight? Whose conscience is burdened by sin, whose heart is crushed by the law? That person knows he's in a bad way. He needs more than a message of affirmation or flattery. He needs another message, a message of comfort. But should we tell a person like that that everything will be okay? Everything will work out just fine? Do things always work out okay? When it comes to sin, is that ever true to tell people that everything is just okay? People do bad things. There is sickness and death in the world. Things don't always work out the way we want them to be. That's truth. That's reality. But if you've ever been to a Garth Brooks concert, you'll tell him, you'll hear him tell that the world would be a better place if people would just love people. It's just that simple. The world would be better. Everything would be great if people would just love people. Well, that would be great if people actually did love their neighbor as themselves. But this is a broken world. And why is it broken? Who broke it? We did. We're the problem. That's why we're always one law away from utopia. Utopia will never happen. This will never be a perfect world as long as there are sinners in this world. It always amazes me that politicians pass laws like no-fault divorce, promising that they will make the world better when they make it worse. And then they pass more laws promising to fix what they've broken. And all I can say is, come, Lord Jesus. Well, all these messages that we hear may sound comforting on the surface, like I said, in a carnal, fleshy sort of way, but the old saying goes, reality bites, and judgment day will be a reality that bites. Reality is what it is. The more we try to live apart from God, the more we try to put band-aids on our own brokenness, the worse things will get. The message of comfort that is truly God-pleasing, the message of comfort that the world needs to hear, the message of comfort that God commanded his prophets to announce to his people is this: speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The message of comfort that God wants his prophets to announce to his people is this: God has mercy on them. God forgives their sins. The war between God and man is over, for God restores our brokenness. Is there a more comforting message than that? Especially for sinners who know and feel their sins, their brokenness, who suffer from the broken promises and disappointments of a broken world. But this message of forgiveness and mercy and restoration is only possible because God had promised to send his answer, and the only answer to broken lives in a broken world, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's not people loving people that is the answer to our problems, to our sin, to our suffering, and to our death. It's God loving people in Christ. It's God showing mercy in Christ. It's God giving reconciliation in Christ. It's God raising us from the deadness of our sins and giving us life with him in Christ. And this message of comfort begins in the Old Testament as God promises to send a forerunner who would prepare the world for his son, John the Baptist. He is that voice that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that is done through repentance and faith. But there's something about this message of comfort that is very important. Unlike man's words, which come and go, which change as the times change, God's word does not change. God keeps his promises. That voice says, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, how is that comforting? Well, think about this. In a world that constantly changes, in a world where people come and go, in a world where promises are made and broken every day, in a world where there is nothing you can really count on, you can count on this: the unchanging truth of the Word of God. The person who stands on the Word of God stands. He stands forgiven. He stands healed. He stands comforted. And he stands on the hope that God has given us a Savior. This is the message that is proclaimed to all the world. The message of Jesus, that God has given his Son in the fullness and frailness of human flesh to be our Savior from sin. But hidden under that frail human flesh of our Savior is the almighty power of God. Behold your God. Behold the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rose for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So this God-pleasing message of comfort you are here in this world of sin and trouble is a message that brings you joy and celebration, because God has fixed your brokenness. Because in Jesus, your sins are forgiven, your broken life with God restored, and Jesus himself shepherds you in this world of sin and darkness on his path of righteousness and salvation. He will tend his flock like a shepherd, Isaiah writes. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Jesus is our comfort. The churches, her pastors, and her people are called to comfort people with the eternal promises of God's word. We comfort people with the same message that gives us comfort. The love and grace revealed to us in Jesus. It's a blessing that God gives us such words of comfort. While unbelievers bash each other with unholy and unloving rhetoric, gripe and complain about the futility of their lives, and lie to themselves and each other about reality, God gives us His word of comfort in Christ Jesus. And He puts in us words of comfort for each other. Words that help us know that we're appreciated and loved in a world that is full of hate, especially hatred for Christians. We are called to edify and speak well of one another out of the love that God shows to us in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful blessing and great comfort it is to know that God's word endures forever. That God's promises do not change. God doesn't change His mind. What Jesus won on the cross for sinners is forever. And is forever comforting. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.